This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Talk about overkill. And I am not using that as a descriptor. I mean overkill. Tonight, we learn about a jealous ex-wife from hell who allegedly gets not one, not two, not three, but four people to execute her ex-husband, a medical doctor, out of pure jealousy over his beautiful, new, young wife. Jealousy over not just the young wife, but the young wife's new baby with her ex-husband. Plus, she wants a whole bunch of money. Mm-hmm. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace, and this is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. You heard me right. A jealous ex-wife, just consumed with envy, gets not one, two, three, but four people to murder her doctor ex-husband so she could get her mitts on his money. And out of pure jealousy when he remarries and has a baby. Now, this is according to a brand new lawsuit filed by Dr. Hamid, the victim's widow. As you will recall, the ex-wife, Haim Mershoji, and four others have been arrested after the shooting death of an ER doctor, Hamid Mershoji. He was beloved by all accounts and was ambushed in the parking lot of his own medical clinic by assailants who approach him from behind as he leaves the clinic and goes to his vehicle. What happened that fateful day? Did Insta snaps of a lavish lifestyle with a new trophy wife and a brand new baby lead to murder? The murder of the so-called Doc to the Stars. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
Dr. Hamid Mershoji is the beloved doctor of his Woodland Hills community in Los Angeles. But tragedy strikes when the good doctor and father of four is mysteriously slain outside his clinic.
How did a beloved doctor, a family man, the father of a brand new baby girl, end up dead in the parking lot of his own medical clinic? Listen.
On August 23rd, 2024, about 5:30 p.m., as Dr. Hamid Mershoji left his family medical clinic for the night and walked to his vehicle in the parking lot, a masked man emerged from hiding around the corner of the clinic and ran toward him. From a close distance, the suspect fired at Dr. Mershoji in an ambush-style attack and then immediately fled back toward the rear of the clinic and away from the scene.
A beloved family practice doctor dead in the parking lot of his own clinic. Now let's think this thing through to Israel Salas Rodriguez joining us, senior news reporter, U.S. Sun. Israel, thank you for being with us. Let me understand this. This is rapid fire. This is right as he leaves his office, correct, his clinic. Yes, no.
Yes, correct.
Walking to his car, right?
Yes, correct.
A masked man, correct?
Correct.
No robbery, no sex attack, correct?
Correct.
And the masked man flees, apparently, to a waiting car?
Correct.
Joining me is a very special guest, the brother of the so-called Doctor to the Stars. Joining us is Ali Reza Mershoji. Doctor, thank you for being with us. Dr. Mershoji, when did you learn that your brother, the so-called Doctor to the Stars, had been killed? And when you were first told, did you realize he had been murdered, or did you think he died of natural causes in some way?
Well, my wife and I, we were driving, going to my parents' house, meeting my brother, and celebrating the progress of my dad in his treatment for his pancreatic cancer. On our way, a common friend called us and he insisted that I contact my brother on the phone and see and ask for his whereabouts. So I did several times. He didn't answer. He called me back. He said, you should go to his clinic and see what's going on. And I said, why? And said, you should. You must go. We heard shooting. And I said, well, shooting, that's unusual. So that basically got me worried. So I drove towards his clinic. Due to the traffic, once I get to that intersection where his clinic was, I had to jump out of the car because I saw the police yellow crime tape all around the parking lot. So I ran to the scene. The police didn't let me go forward. And the only thing I could see was his boots and his blue jean laying down on the ground on his left side facing his car. So the police started asking me, was he suicidal? Did he kill himself? And I told him, absolutely not. And I just also mentioned to the police that he had purchased the antibiotics for my dad for his condition, and he was supposed to deliver it to the house tonight. And at that time, the adrenaline was pumped in, so I was very much alert and hyped up and didn't really know what to do, just shocked and very angry, very upset. I'm generally a very calm guy, but that night, apparently, people were telling me I was pretty much not talking to anybody and just trying to figure things out, which in that situation, which is very unusual, you can't really.
You know, Doctor, you mentioned that they asked you, would he have committed suicide? And I'm going to follow up in a moment with Dr. Eric Eason regarding the trajectory of the gunshot wounds. But you immediately said, no way. This guy, your brother, had everything to live for. He had this gorgeous new wife, the brand new baby. I mean, he was really in the happiest time of his life, right?
Absolutely. He was never happier. He looked even way better than before. He transformed into the way younger guy. I would say probably even 15, 20 years younger than his age. And the newborn baby. So I never saw him happier than before.
As a matter of fact, check out a before and after. Tell me, Dr. Alireza Mirshojay, what led your brother, who's a very handsome man, what led him to have plastic surgery?
Well, I'm not aware that he did any extensive plastic surgery aside from the Botox and some hypo, for his wrinkle and all that. But he did lose weight and he was working out. He was going to Equinox on a daily basis. And he did some hair implants and that made him look even better. The plastic surgery.
He looks great. Whatever
yeah,
he did,
really
Alireza, he looks amazing. Again, joining me in All-Star Panel to make sense of what we know right now, but to Dr. Eric Eason, following up on what Dr. Mirshojay told us, this is the victim's brother. Dr. Eason, board-certified forensic pathologist, consultant, has performed so many autopsies, thousands of autopsies. Dr. Eason, thank you for being with us. Of course, I understand why police are saying on the scene, could he have committed suicide? But clearly, the trajectory of the bullets, in other words, their path, front to back, side to side, downward to upward, left to right, and so forth, would clearly indicate this was no suicide.
Trajectory does help. Trajectory is a piece of the puzzle when determining whether a gunshot wound is suicidal or homicidal. But you also have location of the entrance wound. That's very helpful. So suicides tend to be intraoral or to the temple area, whereas homicides are going to be like random locations, maybe to the back of the head. And then also factor in circumstances and also witnesses. Witnesses said somebody came up with a mask on and shot him. And then the circumstances, I don't believe a gun was found at the scene. And so that would strongly suggest that this is not going to be a suicide. And inflicted by somebody else.
Yeah. You know how eyewitnesses are always attacked at trial by people like Troy Slayton, joining us right now, high profile L.A. criminal defense attorney in this jurisdiction. Troy, there's no question this was a hit. Now, the circumstances surrounding the hit, we're not sure of that yet. But for a masked man to run around the corner, perfectly timed for when the doctor, who is the so-called doctor to the stars, beloved by all, comes out of his office, same time every day, Troy, you and I have talked about this a million times, comes out of his clinic, same time as he does every day to head to his car, at that exact, that precise moment, someone runs around the corner wearing a mask, shoots, no sex attack, no robbery, no drug deal, nothing, and then runs away, it's a hit.
All the circumstances, including some witness accounts that said that they saw this person, the alleged gunman, walking around the location for an hour before waiting for the doctor to come out, all lead one to believe that this was a pre-planned, premeditated attack by somebody lying in wait.
Of course, one of the first places you look is at his family, those closest to him. You look at people he works with every day. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. Who could possibly be angry at him within his own clinic? Listen.
August 23rd is a regular day in the office for Dr. Hamid Mirshojay. His new wife and baby are away visiting her family, and the doctor leaves his clinic about an hour after seeing his last patient for the day. Nothing is out of the ordinary, but the unsolved baseball bat attack of less than 3 months ago is something that has made the peaceful doctor a bit on edge.
They were all screaming in the office when it happened because they heard the shots, but you could see what's going on. And everybody ducked and screamed in there. It was horrifying.
Now, you were just hearing from our friends at Fox 11. That was a former patient of the doctor. So everything was normal in the office. And when this went down, screaming, everyone jumping on the floor, they hear gunshots. And, of course, immediately, Israel Salaz Rodriguez joining us, a senior news reporter, U.S. Sun. Immediately, police arrive and start talking to everyone at the scene, and everyone was accounted for in that office. In other words, it was not a scenario where, oh, the front desk secretary, the assistant, vanished for an hour, and then she reappeared. Nothing like that. Everybody was there. Everybody was shaken up. And they very quickly ruled out anyone that he was working with. Isn't that right, Israel?
Correct, Nancy.
I want to talk about what we learned at the scene. But first, to Karen Stark joining me, renowned psychologist, TV radio trauma expert at KarenStark.com. That's Karen with a C. Karen, I was thinking about the details, the unusual details that stuck out in the mind of our murder victim's brother. They grow up together. They both go to medical school. They start their practices and they live life. Then he gets a call. Everyone's supposed to be getting together to celebrate, and the brother doesn't show up. Did you notice the things that stuck out in his mind? The crime scene tape, seeing his brother's boot, seeing his brother's leg in blue jeans lying there in the parking lot of his medical clinic. What does that mean, Karen Stark?
Well, when you get that kind of sudden, and you're just there and you're in sudden shock, Nancy, what you will notice are things that just immediately pop into your mind, but you're not really absorbing what you're seeing. So he sees a boot, he sees a leg, but he can't really put it together because it's slow motion. It's kind of boot, leg, body, what is this? Complete shock, not able to digest what's happening to him right then.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Jealousy. That's why they call it the green-eyed monster. It's a monster. Once it gets a hold of you, apparently, it won't let you go. And that is what was literally consuming Dr. Hamid's ex-wife, just consumed with jealousy. How many times do you think she looked at the new wife's Facebook, Insta, Twitter, and the gorgeous pictures of the new wife and the new baby? Ooh. In the last days, the good doctor's grieving family launches a lawsuit claiming the ex, Hang, hired a hitman to kill the doctor so she could get his money and block the new and much younger wife and the baby daughter from accessing those funds. What more do we know about the death of the good doctor?
Dr. Hamid Mirshojay is the beloved doctor of his Woodland Hills community in Los Angeles. But tragedy strikes when the good doctor and father of four is mysteriously slain outside his clinic.
We keep saying doctor to the stars, and he was exactly that before he was gunned down outside his own medical clinic. Listen to one of his patients.
I was going through a divorce, and, you know, he even said to me, he said, hey, why don't we, you know, get together, have lunch and talk. You're going through a divorce. I'm going through a divorce. Let's just sit down and chat. That's how great of a person he was. He was just really caring. And also, hey, he's a doctor. He hurts, too.
In the years following his divorce, Dr. Hamid Mirshojay finds love again, and this time everything is wonderful. He marries Ghazal Simorgh. Together, they welcome a beautiful little girl into the world in his first 2 years of marriage, and her name, Avina.
Straight out to the brother joining us, Dr. Alireza Mirshojay. Tell me about the second wife. How did that happen?
I think that happened about, they met about 6 years ago. And they got married, if I'm not wrong, 2 years after. And when Hamid was shot, his child, Avina, was only 6 months old. And they had a loving relationship. They had fun. They have exciting life. He started feeling and acting and living young again.
To Israel Salas Rodriguez, joining us from the U.S. Sun. Israel, I know that the second wife was away visiting family with the baby at the time of the murder. Is that right?
Correct. She was in Turkey visiting family.
Okay, so she's out, because that's normally the first place you look, is at those closest to the victim. But what's concerning is an incident that occurred a few months before. Tell me about the attack with a baseball bat, Israel.
So, yes, a worker at Dr. Hamid Mirshojay's clinic told investigators that three men snuck up behind Dr. Mirshojay and attacked him with a baseball bat.
Good gravy. Alireza, what happened?
Well, he didn't say what was the reason. And apparently the conversation he had with those people, that they came at him. Obviously, they came at him slowly, and this they engaged in a conversation. And then suddenly, Hamid tries to run away. And he's telling me that he fell, and he was beaten with the baseball bat, but he was able to get up and run so he doesn't get hurt too much. But his back and his right shoulder was injured. And also he visited the orthopedic doctor for rotator cuff tear. And he also spoke with me about his treatment for that. He did not tell me, or I don't know if he knew or he didn't tell me, but he didn't tell me what was the reason, and he didn't tell me who did he suspect that initiated that attack. But also he mentioned to me a few days later that, maybe a week after that attack, he saw the same person who attacked him in a gas station. And he contacted the detective to come and get him. But unfortunately, the detectives were busy and they didn't have time to do that. So he was very upset of that matter as well.
Dr. Alireza, did he recognize the guys?
He didn't know them. But the second time, when he saw the person who attacked him in the gas station, he recognized that was one of those people.
Tell me about his relationship with the first wife.
Well, after they were divorced over 15 years ago, they had a continuous legal issues and legal battles. They were going in and out of courts every month. And as well as the confrontations, because he was renting the office in a shopping center that belonged to Ahang, that was also another factor that they had some interactions that happened between them.
Dr. Mushoje, how did she respond to the remarriage and the new baby?
Well, after their divorce, I was not much in contact with her, maybe overall once or twice, little short conversations. Apparently what she told me, it was an occasion that I, at the funeral, as a matter of fact, when he came to the burial of my brother, I didn't want them to see each other. So I asked her that, okay, can you sit on this side so you don't see her? She mentioned that she has nothing against her and she doesn't even know her. So that was her response.
She worked in the office with him. She was basically running the office, and she was there. Every time I saw Dr. Hamid, she would be there all the time. She was the running the whole clinic. She was very friendly, very personable. The only problem was there, you could feel it. There was tension between her and her husband, Dr. Hamid, and she would be personable. He would be personable, but boy, the tension was palpable between the two of them.
Dr. Mushoje, when did you learn that police, law enforcement there in LAPD were looking at the ex-wife as a potential killer?
Well, there's a question. At the night of the murder, August 23rd, the police asked me and asked several other people that they knew my brother Hamid, who do we think that could have done this, or who would be the enemy of my brother? And we all didn't have any name in common. I mean, we didn't have anybody in mind. And the only thing that everybody was aware was the conflict that Hamid and Ahang had together for many, many years. So that was the only thing that came to everybody's mind at that night. And from then on, I think the police kind of zeroed in on her and continued their investigations.
But here's the thing. To Israel Salas Rodriguez, joining us in the U.S. Sun, the witness clearly saw a masked male run around the building, not a female.
That's correct, Nancy.
How else was the perp described?
He was described as a male suspect, like you said, hooded, was walking around the area, roaming around the clinic, and he just came up from behind Dr. Mirjoje and fired him.
And I'm curious, Israel, I understand that police raided the ex-wife's home and took out bag after bag after bag of evidence. Do you have any idea what they found in her home?
Well, that, Nancy, is not disclosed yet. We know that, like you said, the investigators went to her home in Calabasas and removed certain evidence from the residents.
Whatever they found led to this.
The horror and the betrayal of this crime is beyond words. And it is with a heavy heart that we have to announce these charges against the ex-wife of Dr. Hamid Mirjoje, Ahang Mirjoje, in addition to the other co-defendants. The depth of this deceit and violence involved in this case is chilling. And we will not rest until justice is served.
And more.
Back on August 23rd, Mr. Hardman, having been hired by Ahang Mirjoje, goes ahead to a parking lot in Woodland Hills, the parking lot at which Dr. Hamid Mirjoje had his medical practice. He was driven, as the accusations have alleged, by Ashley Sweeting. She brought Mr. Hardman to that parking lot. He, at that point, goes ahead and engages in the act of murder.
To high-profile lawyer out of L.A. joining us, Troy Slayton. This is his jurisdiction. Troy, have you ever heard of DIY? Do it yourself. Whenever you have co-defendants, everything goes right down the crapper. They cannot keep their yaps shut. Here you've got a very crude attack on the doctor. Where else? Outside his clinic, caught on video. Then the idiots, if I go out on a limb and say that, are spotted by him again at a gas station. He sees them. He can identify them. Then, within weeks, he's gunned down. Of course they're going to roll over on the ex-wife. It's a given.
There's no honor among thieves, Nancy. You know, sometimes we say in criminal law and family law that in family law, you have generally good people on their worst behavior. And in criminal law, you have sometimes bad people on their best behavior. And when you have a mixture of criminal and family law, everything is a mess.
I don't know what you're saying about good behavior, bad behavior. This is a father of a brand new baby girl with a beautiful new wife. The baby party, remember where she, the baby accidentally knocks over the cake, and at first there's a stunned silence and then everybody starts laughing. Was it just what? One Instagram too many?
If you're asking me to explain to you why somebody would hire another person to kill somebody, I can't do it. But what I can tell you is that
you do it every day of your life in court, Troy Slayton. Don't tell me you can't spit it out tonight.
Look, Nancy, the facts are really bad in this case. And if I was an attorney working on it, I'm going to be looking at any other possible suspects. I'm going to be looking at other possibilities other than the ex-wife, because this is a purely circumstantial case in that there's no eyewitness of the wife actually committing the murder or
Troy Slayton, having a transaction to you. There's no eyewitness of her committing the murder. Yeah, that's how murder for hire usually goes. You hire somebody to do it so you're not at the scene. You haven't wondered what was in all of those bags they were carting out of her place? It's called evidence, Slayton. Evidence.
Nancy,
you don't think if she was this angry about the new wife and all those Instas, I mean, those Instagram posts were pretty impressive. It looked straight out of a magazine. The new wife was gorgeous. Apparently really sweet lady. Then he seals the deal with a baby, even going so far as to have plastic surgery to totally change his appearance to please his new wife. And he does please her. They're happy. And the first wife just couldn't stand it. Let me see Slayton, for Pete's sake. Can you imagine? I guarantee you this is going to come out in evidence. All the feverish texts and phone calls she had with her hench people, according to the state. It's going to be a treasure trove. Really?
So
if she would have the same people commit a bat attack, a baseball bat attack, in the parking lot, where then it's the same location, and there's surveillance video, for Pete's sake. Then they come back for seconds and gun him down. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a trail a mile wide, Troy Slayton.
So that's going to be the thing that police detectives are honing in on this case, is all of the electronic evidence. They're going to be looking at every computer, every telephone, every tablet, everything. And there's going to be a lot of technical evidentiary objections to how this electronic evidence.
Let me throw
a
Latin phrase at you. You say that the electronic digital footprint is the strongest evidence. Latin phrase. They got a crap ton of evidence from these co-defendants. You think they want the getaway girl? No, they don't want her. They want the trigger man, and they want the ex-wife. For obvious reasons, the ex-wife is going to be pegged as the mastermind, if you could call it the big criminal mastermind, and the trigger man, because I'd like to see Troy Slayton, because as you know, Troy, a jury will not take down the mastermind if the trigger man doesn't go down. They have to go down together. Everybody else is icing on the cake. That's the strongest evidence. The other co-defendants will do, you know, the FBI's in on this. The other co-defendants will do whatever it takes to save their own skin. They're going to rat out the trigger man and the ex-wife. It's a done deal.
And that's why the district attorney decided to charge them together in this case. These aren't separate cases that are all traveling on their own criminal track. Everybody here in this case has been charged together, and the district attorney is going to seek to try them together. If I was the attorney on the case, one of the first things that I would do is do a motion to sever.
Just ask for a severance.
Because I don't want a jury, and I'm going to argue to the judge, I don't want a jury to convict my client, my innocent client, just because they don't like this other bad guy, and that they'll impute some of the bad stuff about the co-defendant onto my client.
You know why? Because that's been gone. That's been picked through with a fine-tooth comb by the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, those justices up in Washington that sit in that big courtroom, them, they absolutely can be tried together. I've tried plenty of co-defendants together in a murder case.
Not always. Not always, Nancy.
It's not a death penalty case. Let me rephrase. I keep hearing something. Oh, it's you. It's not a death penalty case, and the state can exclude interlocking statements. Simply put, interlocking statements is, for instance, I blame Troy Slayton, he blames me in statements. Unless we take the stand, those statements cannot be cross-examined under the Sixth Amendment. So they're kept out. Don't need them. So long story short, they're going to be put in the same pot to stew Slayton, and you can about severance all you want to, but it's not going to happen. They're going to be tried and convicted together.
This is a special circumstances case, which means that the death penalty is not off the table. And although in California, the governor has a moratorium on carrying out executions, there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new DA who is very tough on crime and is not afraid to seek the death penalty in appropriate cases, unlike the past district attorney. So it could very well be,
Slayton,
in this case, that they're going to seek the death penalty, Nancy.
We'll burn that bridge when we get there. Meanwhile, listen to this.
At that point, another co-defendant who has been charged with the crime of murder, as well as carried out for financial gain and assault with a deadly weapon, Sarah Lal Jawed, is met by Mr. Hardman. Mr. Jawed then takes Mr. Hardman to the state of Texas, where Mr. Hardman is eventually arrested.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. In this brand new lawsuit, the widow claims that the ex-wife spent weeks in her lawsuit, she says, meticulously planning the murder. Gosh, weeks planning the murder. And then enlisted the help of at least four others, promising them thousands of dollars in payment after the murder. What happened in that parking lot?
Dr. Hamid Mirshojaei and his ex-wife share a lengthy court history after their contentious 2009 divorce. The years that followed saw a multitude of suits, restraining orders, and heavy settlements. Suspicions arise when the doctor is found dead outside his clinic.
The LAPD investigation is able to tie Evan Hardman of Tomball, Texas, and Sarah Lal Jawed to the murder and accuses them of carrying out the killing for financial gain. Investigators were also able to tie Hardman and Jawed to the alleged baseball bat attack on Dr. Hamid Mirshojaei that happened on May 3rd and left the doctor in fear for his life. Hardman and Jawed face assault charges for that attack. Ashley Rose Sweeting is charged with one count of being an accessory after the fact. She's accused of driving the shooter to and from the crime scene.
It's not the first time that an angry spouse or mate has tried a murder for hire. Does the name Dahlia DiPolito ring a bell? Because I can't get her out of my head. Listen.
How much money?
He said he was going out, I think, a lot of time.
He's
got $10,000.
He's
going into the bank on Wednesday, and he's going to get money. Like, I know what bank he's going to.
What bank is it
going to? Boca. Are you familiar with Boca?
Okay,
fine. I know exactly which bank he's going, and I know what time he's going to be there. And he'll either early, he'll be there when the bank opens.
Is your husband Michael? Okay, I'm sorry to tell you, ma'am. He's been killed. He's been killed, ma'am. I'm sorry. Try to calm down.
Back to Troy Slayton, high-profile lawyer in this jurisdiction of L.A. That's Dahlia DiPolito. Now, much as in the current case with Dr. Mershojai, she tried to murder her husband with a poisoned Starbucks. Didn't work. Next thing you know, she hires a hitman who, of course, is an undercover agent. Now, you just saw her bent over double. Meryl Streep, move over. She arranged the hit. I've got her on tape with the agent arranging the hit. And yet, there she is doubled over screaming. Did you see the cops just going, really? Looking away during the screaming fit? Did you see that?
Yes, Nancy. This won't be the first time that somebody is going to deny that they were the person who committed a crime. That happens every single day in every single courtroom around the country. If every criminal who was accused of a crime, Nancy, simply said, oh yeah, I did it, you wouldn't have a job in your earlier days as a prosecutor, and neither would I.
Thank you for your job and career advice, Troy Slayton. But right now we're talking about murder, the murder of a doctor, a beloved doctor, gunned down in his own clinic parking lot after taking a beating with a bat by the same idiots who gunned him down. And speaking of Dahlia DiPolito, listen.
You know who this guy is?
No.
You've never seen him before?
I've never seen him before. Ever.
Do you know her?
Put your head up and look at her.
Put your head up.
I've never seen her.
What were you doing coming out of her house? Get him out of here. You're going to jail today for solicitation of murder. You're under arrest.
Bam! Okay, Troy Slayton, you know who that guy is that they just brought in to Dahlia DiPolito? That was the hitman. The hitman who is the undercover agent. And she's like, yeah, I've never seen him in my life. Did you see that? I mean, she's holding it. She's continuing the performance to the very end. I got to give her that kind of credit, right? I mean,
that's what criminals do, Nancy. Sometimes they won't admit it, even when there's overwhelming evidence of guilt. And sometimes that could affect their sentencing later in court, because if somebody can recognize and shows remorse and takes accountability for what they've done, then that could be a mitigating factor that gets them a lower sentence. And sometimes,
Troy.
Nancy, let me just say one more thing. You know, as a criminal defense attorney, one of the things that we try and do if we feel like the person's going to be convicted is we try and build as many mitigating factors as we can to try and convince the judge that this person should get the lowest punishment possible.
Okay, you're actually giving me a headache. I want you to listen to Dahlia DiPolito when they tell her her husband, the one she hired the hitman to kill after she tried to poison him dead, her husband is alive. Okay, watch this.
Oh my God.
He's alive.
Come here, please. Come here. Mike, come here. Come here, please. Come here.
I can't fix it.
Why not? I didn't do anything to
you. I heard you.
Mike, come here, please.
Yeah, the husband's been listening to all the undercover tapes of her talking about where he would be and try to make it look like, you know, a robbery gone wrong. He heard the whole thing. Now, she keeps a straight face. Now, when you don't know a horse, look at her track record. We know what DiPolito did before. We know what she would do at trial. Same thing here. We know what the defendant has done before. We know what she's going to do at trial. Even now, she's saying, Mike, come here, as if he's going to run over and give her a big wet kiss. She tried to have him killed, Troy.
Like Shakespeare said, the lady doth protest too much, methinks. Somebody can
start with me quoting Shakespeare, okay?
I was an English major,
Nancy. And he didn't say the lady doth protest so much. Go back to your poli sci major. He said, methinks thou doth protest too much. I don't know what that has to do with a cold-blooded murder out in a parking lot.
What it means is that if somebody is putting it on too thick, then detectives may think that that person is not being truthful if they're protesting too much about what they're being accused of.
The LAPD raided the Calabasas mansion of Dr. Hamid Mershojay's ex-wife, Ahang Mershojay. Police officers are seen going in and out of the home multiple times during the raid, coming days after charges have been brought against at least three other people in the ambush-style attack of Mershojay.
We are here to announce the additional charges that have been filed in the murder case of Dr. Hamid Mershojayi. The charges today have been filed against his ex-wife, Ahang Mershojayi. She has been charged with effectively hiring a hitman, a gentleman named Evan Hardman, who's been previously charged with murder and assault with a deadly weapon.
Little did he know, he and his beautiful new wife, that with every Instagram post, it was rising like sap in a tree, boiling, about to boil over with the ex-wife, according to prosecutors. Until it did boil over. And now, the good doctor, the husband, the father, is dead. To Dr. Eric Eason, joining us, renowned forensic pathologist, Dr. Eason, he had time lying there in that parking lot to understand what was happening to him, didn't he?
There is a possibility that sustaining a gunshot wound to the head, there is a point of time, a period of time where someone is conscious and aware of what's going on. So that is possible.
To Israel Salas Rodriguez, what were his injuries?
His injuries were a gunshot wound to the back of the head, according to the autopsy.
To the victim's brother joining us, speaking out on his brother's behalf with us, Dr. Ali Reza Mershojay. Doctor, what is your message tonight as you wait for this case to move forward? And also, how is his wife? I mean, their daughter will have basically no memory of her father.
It's extremely sad and painful for my family. And the fact that the most painful part of it is the fact that my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in March 2024. And Hamid and I, we were very occupied and busy to get him into the program that he can have his the new biological medication, Krazati, for his condition. And Hamid was successful to get that for him. And the medicine was working very well. And the doctors were surprised that his cancer marker came down from 7,000 to 100. But immediately after Hamid was shot, my dad's health turned around and he slowly started losing more weight, and he passed away just about a month ago. It is very difficult within the very short period of time, less than 6 months, that my family have lost two greatest members, my father and my brother, an uncle, husband, and a grandfather. It's extremely difficult. I can't put it to words. Honestly, I don't know what to feel at this time that I'm handling all my brother's assets and as a trustee. I'm very busy with all these tasks, so there's no time for me to moan. But what I see around me, my mom, my nieces and nephews, they appear to be very strong. My nieces and nephews have lost their father, and now their mother's in jail. It is something that doesn't really happen to any child. So I honestly cannot explain in words how I feel or how they would be feeling right now. But it's very sad and very painful, and it's unbelievable.
This brand new legal action also accuses the ex-wife of trying to hide money, financial assets, and real estate so the new wife and baby couldn't get it. Clearly, according to this new filing, the ex-wife was eaten up, consumed with resentment after Dr. Hamid moved on with his life 15 years after their divorce. Good gravy, woman. 15 years. They got divorced in 2009. And she's still consumed with jealousy? These claims, and I'm quoting, say that the ex-wife was driven by, quote, avarice and vengeance. Jealousy, envy. That's avarice. And vengeance, revenge. It says the alleged killer ex-wife demanded money repeatedly since their marriage ended. Money above and beyond what was agreed upon in the divorce decree. The claims also state the ex-wife consistently demanded money due to a combination of her own reckless spending, inability to manage her own finances, and outright greed. Greed! You know, it's painful to pour through the documents, as we have been doing, and finding out that Dr. Hamid had actually stated in writing in legal documents he feared for his life and that his ex-wife had threatened to kill him. And she did. She did kill him. In fact, he had been the victim of a beating by a gang of men with a baseball bat just a few months before he was killed. Remember that? Gee, I wonder who arranged that. He was so afraid this would happen and he would be leaving his new wife and baby alone. Can you imagine him dying in that parking lot? Were his last thoughts about his new baby girl and the children from his first wife that he's leaving behind now, thanks to her, according to prosecutors? We wait as justice unfolds. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.